give a little explanation as to kind of how this came together. But 6 or 7 years ago, Brinkapati, who's one of the book distributors in Los Angeles, I invited him to come out to my house and give a class, and ended up staying the week. And every night after, he would go out and do book distribution, and I'd come home from work. We'd sit down and we'd have all these lengthy, you know, devotee katha, Krishna katha, all these sort of stories that we were sharing with each other from our years of being devotees in the movement. And then one night I started telling him the story that I'm going to share with you today. And, I've just always sort of had it in my head, but I never really told anybody it. And he said, Prabhu, he said, you have to share this with the devotees. And I said, no, it's not that important. He said, no, it's very important. You should share this with the devotees. So anyhow, he persuaded me, and I said, okay. And I think most of you know, tomorrow is Jayananda's disappearance day. And he said, well, you have to come and share this with devotees in Los Angeles. And I said, okay, you set it up, and I'll go do it. And it took about 5 years for all of this to finally come together. So last year, I started taking notes, and I said, okay, if I'm going to speak, I should probably take some notes. So I started taking notes, and I said, well, I might as well make this into a whole thing. And I started realizing there were so many little intriguing little parts of this story that I didn't want to leave them out. So I ended up just writing it. So actually, I'm just going to read this to you, hopefully in a way that it'll keep your attention. And I think, from what I recall last year when I did this in Los Angeles, I think the devotees were quite moved by it. So I'm hoping that you'll also have some experience like that today. So this is the story. I'd be curious to see, I know there's a lot of senior devotees here. How many people were actually in the 1976 Rathya, or I should say attended the 1976 Rathyatra parade? I'm sure there's some, yes, in New York. Okay, so there's a few people here. Anyhow, this was considered to be, and I might be repeating myself, I think it's in the story, but Prabhupada considered Fifth Avenue when he came in 1965, and we all know the story about how he struggled in Lower East Side of New York, but he always saw Fifth Avenue as the major, I think he called it the most important street in the world, because that's where all the business goes on, that's where the banking goes on, and he always had this vision of Rathyatra on Fifth Avenue. Prabhupada had this magnanimous vision everywhere he went. He had this idea of Rathyatra. Well, in 1976, about 10 years later, it actually came true. We actually did do the Rathyatra down Fifth Avenue, and it was a very wonderful event, but what I'm going to share with you today is how it almost didn't quite happen the way we all know it happened. And that's what makes the story interesting. So, with that, 1976, I will begin, and the first episode is called, What is a Rock Card? So I was tossed into the frenzy of Rathyatra construction 3 days prior to the now quite famous parade that went down Fifth Avenue in the summer of 1976. Srila Prabhupada attended that public event with much satisfaction, but that three-cart parade almost didn't happen. Shortly after the devotees acquired the famous 13th-story temple on 55th Street, it was decided that the temple room would be designed to recreate the intricately designed historic Radha Govinda temple facade in Vrindavan, India. When I arrived, each of the parts were being expertly crafted by a crew of talented sculptors, but nobody had figured out how all the individual parts would be held together and suspended in front of the altar without falling down. I had studied industrial design at the University of Kansas. When I arrived, I was assigned the task of figuring out how to make it all come together and suspend it in the air. Meanwhile, in January of 1976, Jayananda had started with a small crew of helpers to begin the construction of the Roth carts with the intention that they would be used that summer for a big parade. Jayananda apparently felt that because of my background, I might be able to help him resolve some design details on the Roth carts. Even though I had never been to a Rathyatra parade, didn't even know what the word meant, or had ever seen a Roth cart, what to speak of, build one. Nonetheless, Jayananda would periodically consult with me a few times over the months during the construction of the carts to see what my suggestions were. I must confess that most of the time I could not even grasp what he was describing to me because of my utter lack of experience with anything he would inquire about. I couldn't even imagine a parade float with wheels bigger than my 6-foot profile. So I couldn't really say I contributed much to these mini engineering consultation sessions. All I really did was offer a few insignificant words of encouragement, confirming what Jayananda had envisioned all along. I was flattered that he seemed to appreciate my counsel because I was so new and he was so highly regarded as a senior devotee. So it was easy to offer him a whole lot of genuine respect, but all I could really do is encourage him to press on confidentially. We would always end those cherished talks mutually agreeing that Lord Jagannath would give him the intelligence to get everything done well. This microphone is not in good place. Jayananda worked diligently. Oh, this is episode 2. Jayananda's super excellent character. Jayananda worked diligently with the Roth crew for hours, for long hours, for several months. The cutting and welding 8 new steel wheels with 8-foot diameter had never been done before, and it was a lot of work. To this day, I don't know of any other ISKCON Roth carts that had 8-foot wheels. Subhadra's cart was shipped in from Chicago and did not require new wheels. The crew worked so diligently, the rest of the temple members did not see much of them. Occasionally, Jayananda would arrive late to the Sunday feast with Jambavan Das Prabhu, one of his loyal assistants. They were like 2 huge demigods who descended into the back utility room to eat their feast much later than most of the devotees. At that time, both of these men were strong and in their prime. They would use multiple half-gallon milk containers for drinking cups, one filled with nectar and the other filled with sweet rice, and they ate off the 3 plates at once. Often one was completely filled with nothing but just pakoras, while the other plates were filled with rice and sabji, respectively. When they sat down to eat, it was like Lord Balaram and Bhima coming home with the hunger they could not be satisfied even if they ate all of Mount Meru. The parade was scheduled to go down Fifth Avenue on Sunday, July 18, 1976. As that date got closer, Jayananda became anxious that he would not be able to complete the construction of the 3 carts on time. So he requested Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Adhikeshana Swami for more men to help. Wednesday evening, prior to the Sunday of the parade, these 2 senior devotees instructed me to redirect the temple construction crew to join the Roth Yatra crew. Next morning, our team of artisans marched up to the abandoned train station on the west side of Manhattan at 60th Street, where the carts were rising up from the asphalt parking lot. Jayananda was extremely happy to see us, and he was enthusiastic, and his enthusiasm was contagious. He immediately gave us each appropriate task to do. All the while, he repeatedly expressed his sincere gratitude for our assistance. He was a dynamic leader. What soon became evident was that he worked harder than everyone else. He took care of his crew and would never ask anyone to do something that he himself was not prepared to do if the need arose. Episode 3. Watermelon Prasad, anybody? Jayananda's concern about completing the carts by Sunday morning subsided with the additional help. Everything seemed to get back on schedule, and the mood was jovial and exciting. Lord Jagannath was going to rule Manhattan on Sunday, and we were all going to be there dancing, chanting, and feasting sumptuously. Saturday afternoon, someone showed up with a sizable watermelon and gave it to Jayananda to share with the crew. It's not clear where they got it from, but they did state that it hadn't been offered yet. Jayananda didn't waste any time. He immediately cradled the watermelon in both hands, squatted real low, and then hurled it up into the air like an exploding cannonball. When the watermelon crested at about 30 feet, Jayananda bellowed out, "Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu!" When the green cannonball came crashing down into the parking lot, it exploded in a red shrapnel. Jainan immediately collected all the large chunks and began personally distributing them to all the devotees who watched at this rather unusual spontaneous offering with amazement. As evening got closer, we finally got the heavy canopy in place on top of Balaram's cart and were anxious to work out the details with the raising mechanism. This was, in fact, one of the things that Jayananda had come to speak to me about at a 5 a.m. one morning while I was chanting my rounds. I understood that he wanted to lift a tent-like structure, but because I had never seen a Roth cart before, I really did not feel qualified to give him any advice at all. So like the other times, we departed agreeing that Lord Jagannath would give him the intelligence to figure it all out. Now that I had the opportunity to study the carts, I could observe the mechanism he described, and it all came into perspective. I, too, was getting very excited to see how it was all coming together. Episode 4, a sigh of relief. Jainan had slowed down enough where we were able to chat a bit. As we approached the final stage of completing the chariots, we backed away from the carts to visualize what they were going to look like as they rolled down Fifth Avenue. Jayananda was a relentless captain who forged ahead for 6 months, overcoming all sorts of obstacles. On this triumphant evening before the parade, this great devotee of Lord Jagannath, Jayananda Prabhu, took a rare moment with me to review all that had been accomplished, and it was good. It was outrageously glorious, and we all felt good about being part of it. The six-month marathon would culminate the following day when Srila Prabhupada joined us for the biggest Rath Yatra ever to occur outside of Jagannath Puri. After months of planning, all three carts were manifesting with the glory of grand spiritual pageantry. New York had never seen anything like this before, and we were all fired up. While we were enjoying the moment, the crew continued to complete the tasks they were given. Ropes were attached, bolts were tightened, and the final painting was getting done. The canopy mechanism was being tested, and although I had hardly done anything, Jayananda embraced my friendship as if I was one of the guys who was there welding wheels with him when they started in the freezing month of January. Balaram's canopy was going up, and we were marveling at how spiritually seductive it was, a tower of blue and red against the dismal backdrop of a train station that is now just a dump for old cars, broken bottles, rusted steel, and crumpled beer cans. Balaram's canopy was now fully extended, and it stood majestically, 40 feet tall into the air, for about 3 minutes. And then it happened. Episode 5. Lord Vayu's challenge. An unexpected gust of wind came rushing down the Hudson River. It blew over the top of the train station roof, right where we staged the construction of the carts, and it caught Balaram's huge canopy like a sail. The problem was that the sail was not on a boat. It was on a 2-ton Roth cart, which was blocked into place, and the forces were too much for the center supporting telescope to endure. The metal fatigued, and the whole top of Balaram's cart came crashing down to the ground with a thundering sound. We all gasped with dismay. Jayananda watched the whole thing with his big eyes and was left standing speechless, temporarily paralyzed. Nobody was hurt, but in about 3 seconds, the towering temple of bright blue had been radically transformed into what appeared to be an old crumpled shop rag lying amid splintered wood and tangled rope. The long and arduous labor of love that had begun in the dirty basement of the Brooklyn BBT Binary building last winter had a completely unexpected encounter with tremendous misfortune. We all turned to Jayananda. What should we do, Captain? There was a long, quiet pause as we looked on at what had just happened. The first thing Jayananda said was, "That cart is out of the parade. You will just have to make modifications and have the 2-cart parade." He then went on to apologize to everyone for what he obviously felt was a terrible mistake on his part. And it was clear he was really having a hard time accepting what happened, while also being looped with the now additional burden of having to decide what to do next. He was a man and a great leader, but this was completely uncharted territory. Giannana did not shed tears, but it was evident that his soul was crying. This was supposed to be his triumphant moment, but instead, in one insignificant moment, Lord Vayu decided to mess with everyone's head. Needless to say, the mood immediately changed. The satisfaction of triumph and success we were all basking in just moments before were literally blown away and replaced with heartbreak. Jainananda felt that the failure of Balaram's cart was his responsibility, and he was absorbing the experience as a tremendous failure. I was also overwhelmed by the ominous moment that had quickly set in. I kept thinking, what a waste. Jainananda had worked on this huge parade float for so long, and now he was ready to ditch the whole thing because the top was no good. I really didn't understand what Rathayatra was at the time. So like an innocent little kid, I approached Jayananda and naively appealed to him. Well, why can't we just use Balaram's cart the way it is, without the canopy? It's still quite spectacular with the huge 8-foot wheels. Jayananda looked at me like I was nuts. I later realized that what I was asking could be compared to approaching Michelangelo and saying, look, I realize the head of your marble carving of David broke off and just crashed to the floor, but the rest of the sculpture is still pretty fantastic. So why not just take what's left of his torso and to the premiere tomorrow and unveil the statue of David without his head? Jainananda would have nothing to do with such a crazy idea. No, he insisted, Balaram's cart is out. He kept saying things like, I just don't have the time, manpower, or material to fix Balaram's cart. We still need to get Jagannath's and Subhadra's cart done. There is so much we still have to do. Balaram's cart is out. It's too dangerous. We must modify the other cart so the same thing doesn't happen with them. Oh my, how are we going to do all this? Balaram will have to ride with Subhadra. What a mess. I'm sorry. That's what we'll have to do. We will have to make a space on Subhadra's cart so Balaram can ride with her. Balaram's cart is done. Episode 6. The parade must go on with just two carts. I was new to Rathayatra. I hadn't been part of the original team, which had been working steadily for the last 6 months, and I felt really out of place to say anything at this point. But I could see how terribly disappointed Jayananda was, and he made it very clear that he could only do so much in the next 12 hours. So when Balaram's cart splashed all over the parking lot, Jayananda instinctively shifted to damage control. His brain immediately started focusing on preserve what we have. It was the right choice because he simply did not have the time to complete the two good carts, which still required some minor work, and now also had to be modified so that they would not face the same disastrous fate. Jayananda was rightfully concerned. If this were to happen tomorrow with the other carts during the parade, when there would be thousands of people around, somebody would get hurt. He wasn't going to let that happen. Srila Prabhupada had inspected the carts the day before, so as far as everyone at the temple was concerned, everything was fine, and the parade was going to proceed ahead without a flaw. However, within minutes after Balaram's top fell, a whole sea of devotees who had just arrived from other cities came down to the 55th Street Temple, hoping to see the carts ready to go in their glory. Needless to say, things got very chaotic when it was evident that Balaram's cart had gone splunk, and this just created even more distress in Jayananda's heart. He was apologizing to everyone, while correctly insisting that safety had to be our first priority. He was terribly disappointed, but he would not compromise on anything that might put someone at risk of getting hurt. While Jayananda was doing the best he could to send a clear message back to the temple about how we would have to cut the parade down from three carts to a two-cart procession, I began surveying what had happened more carefully. I felt Jayananda's evident pain, but I was not burdened with the emotional angst that he was clearly experiencing. After all, he was the sole fulcrum point for all decision-making, and he was ultimately responsible for the safe completion of these three huge rock charts. Within seconds, he had been suddenly thrust into the crisis mode, regardless of the fact that he was exhausted and needed to sleep for a week. Episode 7, surveying the damage. I figured out if I could not make any tangible suggestions, it would be better to just get out of the way and let Jayananda do what he did best and simply lead us. Balaram's cart looked like it had been beheaded, but I wasn't ready to walk away from it without clearly studying what had happened. I was not the one who was immediately swamped with new concerns about the abrupt change in events. I enjoyed the liberty of just being a helper. So in that way, I was perhaps in a better position to seek out and consider other alternatives we may have other than the immediate reaction of completely abandoning Balaram's cart altogether. Yes, it certainly looked like a huge mess all over the parking lot. There were tangled ropes, shattered hoop rings, twisted cables, and a mangled crown assembly which broke into splinters when it toppled from about 40 feet in the air. In the few days I had an opportunity to work on the carts, I gleaned enough information to understand that the basic concept for holding the canopy up. Despite how massive and permanent the structure might appear to the public, it was assembled like a big box kite. The canopy was like a square sail that was suspended on hoop frames and that hung from one central crown piece that is then thrust up into the air by a multi-stage expanding telescoping tower. I'm not the type of person to walk away from 6 months of hard work because of an untimely setback, and I took Lord Vayu's intercession as a personal challenge. Supersoul was pushing me to see if there was any possibility of piecing Balaram's cart back together from what was still left, albeit smashed all over the tarmac. The canopy was tangled in ropes, but it did not appear to be ripped. The ropes were twisted, but they could be untangled. The hoops were just 2x2 wooden pieces that could be either replaced or perhaps lashed together and then glued. The top frame could also be nailed and lashed with glue. Yes, it would be a lot of busy work, probably an all-night surge, but if we had some extra hands, it seemed we might be able to rebuild the top structure by the time the sun hit the morning horizon. Episode 8, Two Conditions. When the word got out about our misfortune, the stream of devotees from the temple increased even more. When I approached Jayananda, he was explaining to everyone what had happened and how we would proceed the next day. I managed to pull him away long enough to ask if he would allow me to try to repair Balaram's cart. At first, he had a hard time comprehending what I was offering to do. In his head, he had already completely dismissed the idea of Balaram's cart being in the parade, and now, just a few minutes later, he was already focusing on Plan B. His primary concern was the strength of Jayananda's telescope, which had been built as an exact duplicate of the one which had just completely failed on Balaram's cart. Jayananda was noticeably very nervous about the possibility of Jagannath's equally huge canopy also catching a strong, unexpected wind and crashing down during the parade, where someone would surely get hurt. Although I did not fully understand why Jayanand had trusted my judgment, but it was evident from the numerous impromptu consultation meetings we had leading up to this moment under less stressful circumstances that he did. I think that was the only reason why he was willing to stop long enough to listen to my proposal while he was clearly absorbed in the flood of other compelling distractions, responsibilities, and emotional turmoil. So when he finally understood what I was proposing, he stopped to think about it. He did not dwell on it for long. In his next breath, he said he would allow me to proceed with my plan to rebuild Balaam's cart into the night under two conditions. The first was that I could not ask for any of the existing crew members that were on the site at the time to help me. He made it clear that he was relying on all of them to work with him through the night to get the other two surviving carts fully ready for the parade. The second condition was I could not drag him off focus from what he was doing. He didn't want me to distract him with a million questions because he felt he wouldn't be able to keep everything done on time if he got involved in the rebuild of Balaam's cart. I could tell Jayananda wanted to immediately get to work, so I told him I would accept his terms, although I knew I couldn't possibly do the job on my own. We didn't discuss it long because the sun was setting over the west bank of the Hudson River and the carts were scheduled to move at the intersection of Fifth Avenue and 60th Street at 6 a.m. the next morning before the city awoke. That was where we left it. Jayananda endorsed our agreement with a sobering, "Hari Bol, good luck." As he ran off to tend to the task which lay ahead of him, he called back, "I will pray that Lord Jagannath gives you the intelligence to succeed, Prabhu." Plan C. I took a deep breath and went back to Balaram's cart, immediately realizing that the first order of business was to figure out where I could get some help. I knew I couldn't possibly do everything that needed to be done myself, and I needed a team of volunteers that would be willing to work with me perhaps all night long. Devotees from Washington, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Boston, and even further destinations had begun to arrive for the parade scheduled the next morning. They were just curious to see the historic carts Jayananda had built, and they were streaming onto the Rathyatra site. I also noticed that two talented devotees from the New York temple had apparently heard about Lord Vayu's ultimate prank and had come to see the damage. One was the temple mechanic Anandaki, and another was the sculptor from Australia by the name of Bhaskara. After explaining about the problem we faced, I asked if they'd be willing to stay on and help me patch Balaram's cart together, and they generously agreed. I then got up on top of the cart and asked the crowd of devotees that were meandering around if I could get three or four more volunteers to stay up late and help repair the cart. More surrendered souls stepped forward. In a very short time, Plan C began taking shape. I put the vigilant crew to work, separating the huge, wrinkled canopy from the tangled mess. Everyone wanted this to work. We were fired up. We wanted to please Jayananda. Of course, we also wanted to please Srila Prabhupada and Lord Balaram as well, but it was Jayananda's legendary dedication, which was right there in the parking lot working harder than all of us, which compelled the crew to pull it together. We were going to bring life back to Balaram's cart, and we were feeling Lord Jagannath's unstoppable move. As the canopy moved away, more of the destruction became visible. Now we could see what was left of the steel telescope in the center of the cart used to lift the canopy. I discovered that the main 2-inch square piece of tubular steel, an essential component required for the second stage of the canopy telescope, was helplessly twisted and mangled way beyond repair. It appeared like we had indeed hit an unpassable roadblock. A simple review of the linear formula we now confronted pointed to the unfortunate fact that our wishful thinking had come to an abrupt halt. No tubular steel, no telescope. No telescope, no canopy. No canopy, no Balaram's cart in the parade. Ugh. It was about 5 p.m. on Saturday night. I envisioned calling someone to open their shop so we could purchase a new piece of tubular steel. My heart sank because I knew this was pretty unlikely. Somewhere in Manhattan at 7 p.m. on Saturday night would be sitting around in a big steel supply warehouse ready to sell us what we needed. I sought out Jayananda, who was like a commando running between Jagannath's cart and Subhadra's cart, getting everything ready for the parade the next day. But he had solved the problem of how to minimize the risk of having the other carts also topple over. He was directing his crew not to raise the canopy all the way up, only extend the second stage of the telescope 5 feet. He was instructing the cart crew, the cart crews. Jayananda was making adjustments at the last minute. If you extend the second stage the full 10 feet, it could also crash down like Balaram's cart. He was making marks on the ropes and going over the new procedure with the crew when I approached him, frantically saying, "Jayananda, we need to get another piece of steel. Otherwise, we can't fix Balaram's cart. The telescope is too badly damaged. Where do we need to go? I will take the truck. Give me directions." Episode 10, Wishful Thinking. Jayananda turned to me and said, "You have to be dreaming. The place we got the steel from is all the way out in Brooklyn, and it's closed now." Then he paused. "I told you, Balaram's cart was out. I appreciate your efforts, but we can't get another piece of steel. Not at this time. It's too late." I was tenacious. I just didn't want to give in to failure. So I asked if we could call the guy who owns the steel shop and see if he would open the store to sell us the steel tubing we needed. After all, I was thinking, this is Lord Balaram's cart, and we're talking about, and he needs a quick repair job on his chariot by tomorrow morning. Certainly the guy in Brooklyn would appreciate that. I could tell by the look on Jayananda's face that he was exhausted, and he was still very concerned about getting the other two carts ready by 6 a.m. the next day. "No," he said, "that's not going to happen. We can't get another piece of steel this late in the day. Everything is closed. We are done. Let the other Prabhus go back to the temple, and you can help us on the other two carts." Again, my heart sank. I wanted to suggest using the topless cart just as it was again, but I knew that Jayananda would not agree to that. And I brought up a second. I knew that he would not agree to that if I brought it up a second time. It was just to waste more of the little precious time we had left. So I turned to go tell my very short-lived and fired-up crew that we had met defeat and we could not proceed without the critical missing part. I was bummed out. I knew we could do it if we had the steel tubing, but there was no way we could get another one in the time to complete the work by 6 a.m. the next morning. New York traffic at 7 p.m. on a Saturday night was impossible. The store was way off in Brooklyn, and it was closed. I sadly had to conclude what Jayananda had said all along. We're done. Balaram's cart was out. I was saddened, and I wasn't feeling good about the announcement I had to make to my fledgling little crew. I went back to explain all this to my enthusiastic but now disappointed team of last-minute volunteers. The reality of defeat had set in. Even though we had failed to achieve the desired outcome, I thanked everyone for their willingness to try and tried to be upbeat about the fact that we would still have a two-cart parade the next day. But I could see none of us were happy with its resignation. I was starting to feel the mood of defeat that Jayananda was rapidly bouncing back from. Balaram's triumph over Vayu. Episode 11. Thank you. Sorry. This is an emotional story for me, so it's like bringing up all this stuff. After I dispatched the bad news, I saw Jayananda approaching our little huddle. I figured he also wanted to thank these devotees and perhaps amalgamate my emergency crew into his completion efforts. So I waited for him to approach before releasing everyone to go back to the temple. Jainanda looked different. His walk had a more cheerful bounce in it, and he appeared to have conservatively radiant demeanor of hope in his facial expression. He was waving his arms back and forth in a peculiar way to obviously get my attention. When he got in our presence, he spoke, "Mahesh, hey Prabhu, what part exactly did you need?" He wanted clarification on just what piece of steel it was that I needed to replace. I took him over to the twisted piece of steel tubing, which was originally straight but now looked like one of those crazy straws that kids love to drink from. He then said, "You know, I'm not sure. Did you check way down at the end of the train loading dock? I think we purchased an extra piece of that very same steel extrusion several months ago. It may be still sitting there. Go check." Could it be so? Nandaki, Bhaskar, and myself went frantically running to where he indicated the square pipe might be. And, sure enough, just as if Lord Balaram had planned it all along, there was the exact piece of replacement steel that we needed to fix the canopy. We all let a huge Hari Bol Jai Jagannath, and we started jumping around like a bunch of kids. We came triumphantly running back with the coveted wrath part, and all the volunteers and the midnight repair crew threw themselves back into the mood of the heave-ho. We would prevail. Lord Balaram would not be held in checkmate by Lord Vayu. To the credit of all the surrendered souls, we worked all through the night. As we got portions done, I would send devotees back to the temple. A few left at midnight, a few more about 2 a.m. As we approached daybreak, the big blue temple sail was back up. The telescope had been recalibrated not to go all the way up, and we raised Balaram's canopy top for the second time. Jainanda was practically crying with static symptoms, and that in itself also made me weak with emotional ecstasy. He kept saying he couldn't believe it. He was beaming. He was so very happy. The parade would go on just as he had planned for so many months. He was falling all over us with much more praise than what was appropriate, but that was the way Jayananda was. I could feel his soul reaching out to me and the crew, which he had stayed up all the night with oceans of gratitude. He wanted to please Srila Prabhupada, who wanted to please Lord Balaram. We all wanted to do that, and we all wanted to please Jayananda because he was the embodiment of hard work, leadership, setting the example, and a very well-rounded, responsible, and likable devotee. Everyone loved to work with him, and he made everyone feel great about whatever little contribution a person would offer. So for those few moments on that morning, it was quite a thrill. We were all vibrating with feelings of triumph over Maya's distracting attempts to interfere. All the angst from the previous evening was dissipating with the darkness as the sun rose. It was going to be a historic moment for the people of New York after all. Lord Jagannath, his sister Subhadra, and Brother Balaram would each be riding on their own majestic chariots down what Srila Prabhupada referred to as the most important street in the world. It was going to be a great day. Episode 12. Vaikuntha in a concrete canyon. The temple had arranged for three vans to come tow the carts to Fifth Avenue at 6 a.m. We were exhausted, but we were ready. Jayananda wanted me to assist by coordinating the transport of Balaram's cart to the start of the parade, which I did while he and his crew supervised the dispatch of the other two carts. We finally got back to the temple at about 7 a.m. While we were going back to the temple, Jayananda continued to embrace my friendship in ways that made me feel like $1 million. He was like this tremendously lovable big brother, and I felt great to bask in his affectionate association. When we got to the temple, we rested for about 3 hours. He came and got me when it was time to return to the parade site, just before 11 a.m. when the parade was to begin. It was a beautiful day. Jayananda was ecstatic. While we got a short nap after a long night, the freshly painted bear carts had been majestically transformed with all sorts of decorations that included flowers, garlands, flags, candy, and balloons of all shapes, colors, and sizes. The Roth carts now looked like they had descended directly from Vaikuntha and mystically appeared in the middle of this cold canyon in New York City's concrete. Jayananda positioned himself in front of the Jagannath's cart, and Jampavan was steering Balaram's cart from the ground the way it was done back in those days. I had been assigned to manage the overhauled canopy on top of Balaram's cart, and I felt like I was so very blessed to be part of such a huge event. When the parade began, Jayananda danced with abandon in front of Lord Jagannath's cart, which he steered down Fifth Avenue. People peered out of their windows, which seemed to stretch past the top of the sky, and the photographer caught the moment, which was later immortalized on the cover of the June 1977 BTG the following year. At 42nd Street, Srila Prabhupada was escorted to Subhadra's cart and got on his Vyasasan. The parade culminated with a huge reception in Washington Square Park, where His Divine Grace gave a wonderful lecture to the huge public gathering that had come to the festival. We had prevailed. All our hard work paid off. It was a wonderful feeling, at least that day, New York had been transformed into something very, very special. So at this point, I have one slide, if you want to turn that on. A lot of people maybe not even notice these sort of things, but I'm going to show you something here. If we can pull it down, at the top of the screen. You can see the photograph. Most people, the older devotees are probably very familiar with this Back to God at issue where Jayananda is dancing in front of the rock cart. And then what I wanted to show was, right at this point, what we're showing here is that the canopy, you can see the door panel that's hanging down over Lord Jagannath's head, and above it there's this little sort of like a palm tree kind of a shape in the middle of the canopy. And I want to show you where that is. I'm going to read something here, and then we're going to scroll that down, and you can maybe read what's up there. Just take note of where that is in relation to the yellow bar that goes right through the middle. So I'm going to narrate this here. Only a handful of individuals really know the full story of what happened the night before in 1976 New York Roth Yatra Parade. However, there is a photographic evidence that reveals the tale of this harrowing evidence, which challenged our resolve and boldened our spirits. Jayananda's triumphant move was eloquently captured in a photo on the 1977 June issue of Back to God, as mentioned above, and that's on the left-hand side of the screen. On page 8 of that same issue, there is a small photo of the three carts as they proceeded down Fifth Avenue. Okay, so let's scroll, if you can scroll the page up. And this is the photo I'm referring to here. Notice where the little palm tree is on this one compared to the one on the top. Maybe you can bring it down again. I think you can see both of them at the same time. You'll notice that this is just to show you how the top wasn't raised all the way. Of course, when I see it, that's the first thing I see. But scroll it back up. I think so they can see the comparison. No, come back. Yeah, keep going. I guess go back up again just so they can see the other one a little more, just so everybody can see the right there. See where the panel is there. There's like a 6-inch gap of red between the white pattern, and then scroll it down again. You'll see that the pattern now is down inside, and you can't really see it. Of course, Balaram's cart is sort of too far away to see it, but it's the same thing on Balaram's cart. We just didn't crank the tops all the way up because we were so fearful. I mean, we make the Roth carts different nowadays because of this experience. We've learned a lot of things from our past mistakes. I just want to, and that's in the Back to God magazine, so it's like history is recorded. So on page 8 of that same issue, there is a small photo of the three carts as they proceeded down Fifth Avenue. That's the bottom one that you're looking at there. If one looks closely, they will see that the canopies on Jagannath's and Balaram's cart are not fully raised. This is evident by the position of the rectangular-shaped design that is normally painted above the set above and separate from the bottom shaded panel, which extends over the deities. We can see that the top rounded part of that design, but the bottom rectangular section can clearly be seen bleeding into the top of the shaded panel. That's because the canopy was not lifted far enough for it to be visibly set off on its own. The big sail-like blue tent could have been raised another 5 feet, but for the safety's sake, it was not done. His photos taken on that day tell this untold story for those who look carefully for this detail. And then here's final episode 14. This is somebody actually told me this. Sure. The blue is on the side. Red is in the front. I don't know if they do it that way in LA. I think they probably do it differently in LA. At least this year, the red, and then Jagannath is always red and yellow. Subhadra's is always red and green, and Balaram's is always red and blue. So you can't see the blue. But if you go to the DVD and you look the photo under the loop, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's on the second one also. I'm going to share this one more little paragraph here that kind of like punches the punch on this. it's actually a really sort of street little story that somebody told me about. I don't remember where I heard this, but it's far out, so I'm going to share it with you. The unknown observers. Few people know this story behind the night before this important parade, but apparently there was an old retired couple and wife who had watched the entire drama. As the carts were being built and rose up from the dilapidated train station, they watched the daily progress from their apartment balcony. Every day they peered down across 11th Avenue, the seated devotees toil on these three big chariots, a sight they had never seen before. After the parade, they sought out members of the Roth construction crew to tell them that they were watching the Balaram's cart blew over and how it broke their hearts to see it happen. Yet they kept watching. In fact, they apparently peeked out several times through the night to see the devotees toiling to put the broken cart back together. They were so moved by the experience that they came to the temple to tell the devotees how happy it made them to see we did not give up. It was apparent that for these seniors, their ability to watch the daily progress of the chariot construction, then the collapse and subsequent revival of Balaram's cart, was one of the most exhilarating things that they had done in a long time, and they wanted to thank the devotees for making sure this story had a happy ending. And that's it. So if anybody has any questions... And I went a little over, so forgive me. Sure.
It's Rathayatra. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there. I was sitting in L.A. working on BPG, and I was the one who picked out that picture, and then a year later, put on the cover. Ajit told me the story. You remember Ajit Das?
Yeah, sure.
So you probably know it, but this is... they got, you know, after the whole procession was there and you know, the stage was set up, and of course Prabhupada was going to give a talk, and they found out they had forgotten the Vyasa song.
Oh, yeah.
So they sent Aja to go up, back to the temple to get the Vyasa song. Maybe with one or two guys. He got into a car or a van or something. He's driving up Fifth Avenue. Fifth Avenue goes only south. He just drove right up Fifth Avenue.
Rules, what rules?
He's going up and he's, you know, dodging the oncoming traffic. He's not worrying about the cops. He went and got all the way up to the temple at, you know, 55th Street. It's quite a ways up. And he put that in the van, you know, and the guy, and they came back down Fifth Avenue and got there in time for Prabhupada to sit down and talk to the other guy. Another miracle. That's another miracle. You know, New York.
Down here we have it.
We have an actual car. We have one of those mouse tools. talking about. I guess you guys go fast.
I didn't really have anything to do with the Subhadra's card. I think we got that from Chicago.
Yeah, but I've heard from Dasra Sutra, you know, the whole story.
Uh-huh.
Well, to the degree I can, yeah, you guys rebuilt it.
Oh, yeah, the second year maybe we did, yeah. Yeah, we got through the first Rathiatra, and then, of course, Jayananda came to Los Angeles and passed away. It's ceremonially on tomorrow, we celebrate that. But then the following year, it's a whole other story. Tomorrow, we were hoping that sending him to Los Angeles, if the weather was nicer, he would be able to deal with his sickness better. But before he left, Tamal Krishnamurti asked me to kind of pick his brain, and I actually have like an hour or 45 minute tape of him telling me everything what not to do on a Roth card.
Yeah.
Which is all a bunch of technical stuff. It's really boring if you're not building Roth cards. But and then we rebuilt all the parts next year. So.
Oh, 77. I kind of got the impression from Dasra that they did a lot of major renovation on the 76 to make it match.
They might have. Remember, I only came in on the. I was only there. I was involved with building the Radha. For those of you who remember the 55th Street Temple in New York, it was this very ambitious project. We just built this. We bought this 13-story apartment building, and of course, Prabhupada was very happy to have this big building in New York. And they wanted to basically build a facade that looked like the Radha Govindaji Temple in Vrindavan. And I mentioned it earlier in the first paragraph how had all these talented sculptors making elephants and schools and human gila monsters and all these things that were in the facade. But nobody knew how it was all going to fit together. And so I was working on that until 3 days before Rathiatra. And like I said in the story, I was just basically, you know, Maestro, take your crew down to the parade site. We need everybody on this. And so I don't really know what they did on Subhadra's card. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, Jivadar and Dasaroth were definitely part of the group. They were also.
I missed the first part. So is that a book you're publishing?
No. It's not a book. It's just like I started by saying that Brigupati had come out to my house, and I basically sort of ad-libbed this whole story to him, and he was like, "Wow, you gotta do this." So I started taking notes, and I said, "Oh, I might as well write it." So I just wrote a paper. It's like, anybody who wants it, just let me know. I can make it available. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, it's all available. Everything's available. Yeah, thank you. I guess the people in Radio Land are missing out. All right, with that, I guess if there's no other questions. Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu, one more. Yeah, one more question.
Okay.
So as Tithadi Prabhu mentioned that we have this, that Subhadra Devi's cart, and it's my understanding that's the one only cart from back in the day. That what Srila Prabhupada wrote on that still exists. Do you know of any other cart around that still exists today that Srila Prabhupada wrote on?
Good question. Well, Prabhupada never wrote on the new LA. I don't think so. No, he was getting ill. I think New York was, I mean, I may be wrong on this. Somebody can correct. But that we're in LA, he didn't ride on the LA Roth cards. No, yeah, that's what I didn't think so. No, San Francisco cards, there's a bunch of rusted wheels behind the temple right now, which is left. So yeah, there's parts of Roth cards that I think Roth. He probably worked on, but
yeah. As far as an entire cart, you don't know of any that still exists.
No, I think you guys probably have historically.
Okay.
Take care of it.
Yeah. Actually, it's my personal hope, and that one day we can get permission from the temple to have like a little museum and have that cart set up, because that's going to be history.
Yeah.
We have it in part stored at Tirukaran Prabhu's home right now, so.
Well, I will take the opportunity, seeing as I have a captive audience, the idea of the museum. I think most people know there was a museum in New York on the 13th floor of the building before we sold it, where a lot of Prabhupada's paraphernalia and artifacts were all stored. I don't know where all that stuff went. I don't know where it is. I don't want to guess. I'm sure it's someplace. I hope it's someplace safe. But also, I have a personal kind of like vision that there should be some kind of a historic central point, kind of like the archives for the history of the Hare Krishna movement. Not just, I mean, obviously all the stuff Prabhupada did, but all of the other, because I have a whole house full of paraphernalia from the Hare Krishna, old newspaper articles and old, you know, giant, what do you call it, Drathyatra's souvenir booklets and stuff. And, you know, 500 years from now, people are going to wonder, how in the world did we ever get this whole thing going, you know? And there's a lot of material. Historically, it'll be worth something. So, you know, I don't know of anybody focusing on that, but that's something that I think maybe we should be thinking about. Because, I mean, we're all getting older, and I'm sure all the senior devotees, we all have our closets full of paraphernalia. Where is it all going to end up, you know? What's that? Well, I got a few closets full. I believe the cart that he's referring to came from Chicago.
Well, they rebuilt it. They put extensions in the back. I think you did the canopy there.
Yeah, I don't know what they did to it. I do believe you're correct.
Made it wider, second deck.
I mean, yeah,
really,
I believe.
Rebuilt it. You can see from pictures.
My recollection was that, yeah, it was in pretty beat up shape when we got it. And it was small, but I mean, it needed work, and I think they did the work, but I wasn't really involved in that, so I can't really speak on it. Okay, Hari Bol, thank you all very much.